version. And the reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 9 to 48. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you are looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said, "I'm only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So as we remain standing, a prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word, and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. And it may be useful to you to have your Bibles open at Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 9, as that's the chapter we'll be looking at this morning. A long chapter, so we won't be able to look at everything, obviously. So I wonder, have you ever had a moment of revelation that caused you to think or to look at something or someone completely differently? Perhaps you disliked somebody, but then became best of friends. Perhaps you were so fixed in your thinking that you failed to spot that new thing that would revolutionize your business. Last week, John preached on the conversion of Saul. Saul was a man absolutely set in his beliefs, convinced that he was on God's side, convinced that he was right in his persecution of the dangerously subversive Jewish sect that followed the man Jesus. And yet, in a moment, he was turned 180 degrees. The risen Lord Jesus appeared to Saul, and his thinking did a complete U-turn. His understanding was completely changed. From being one of the most ruthless persecutors of the church, he became perhaps the church's greatest missionary, apologist, and theologian. He became the Apostle Paul. And in our reading from Acts chapter 10 this morning, a similar thing happens to Peter. Perhaps not as dramatic, but arguably as significant. Now, earlier in chapter 2 of Acts, the Holy Spirit stormed Jerusalem in the middle of the Feast of Pentecost like a rushing wind and tongues of flame. Filled with the Spirit, Peter and the disciples were enabled to speak confidently and in other languages, so that 3,000 Jewish pilgrims from all over the Mediterranean came to believe in Jesus. The gospel then began to spread around the Roman Empire as those pilgrims returned to their homes. But this new movement still looked Jewish. The focus was still on the people of Israel. The disciples of Jesus, all Jewish, understood that God was doing an amazing new thing. But they probably had little idea how big this would become. So when Peter went up on the roof to pray that lunchtime, all of the incredible events since that day Jesus first called him may have been going through his mind. How on earth was he to make sense of all of it? And while he's praying, God's next move seems to make no sense at all. Peter has a vision in which he sees all manner of animals coming down from heaven, and he's told to kill and eat. "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." As a devout Jew, his reaction is totally understandable. 1,500 years earlier, when God made a covenant with the Israelites at Mount Sinai, that covenant was based on their obeying the law that God gave them through Moses. And much of that law was concerned with making them a nation distinct and separate from the other nations around them. Laws to do with worship, behavior, treatment of foreigners, work and rest, and what they could and could not eat. Which animals were regarded as clean and could be eaten, and which animals were regarded as unclean and could not be eaten. To eat what was unclean was unthinkable to a devout Jew. To do so would be willful disobedience of God. It would be like renouncing their faith, rejecting God. And yet here was God telling Peter that God had made everything clean. 1,500 years of core doctrine is turned upside down in just a few moments. So what had changed? Going back to the book of Genesis briefly, when God called Abraham to be the father of his chosen nation, God told Abraham that through his offspring, all nations would be blessed. At the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel gives a long list of descendants from Abraham down to Jesus the Messiah. And it is Jesus the Messiah, the offspring of Abraham, through whom all nations will ultimately be blessed. And then, just another Bible reference, in Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul makes clear that through Jesus' blood shed on the cross, God reconciled all nations to himself, all creation to himself. So the purpose of the Jewish nation to be the bearers of Jesus the Messiah is complete. There is no longer any need for them to be set apart by the barrier of the law. The earthly role of Jesus the Messiah to reconcile all things to God, to make all things clean before God by his blood shed on the cross, is also complete. The purpose of the Jewish nation and the earthly purpose of Jesus are accomplished. People are no longer to be divided by the law, but united under Christ. It's time for the next stage in God's plan. Now, three times Peter sees the vision and hears God's voice, and then it's gone. But he has hardly time to process what has happened before the messengers from Cornelius arrive. The Holy Spirit tells him to go with them. And it seems that Peter quickly makes the leap from all animals being accepted as food to all peoples being acceptable to God, because he invites Cornelius' Gentile servants and soldier into the house as his guests. And then, when he arrives at Cornelius' home, he announces that God has shown him that he should not judge anyone as being unacceptable to God. When he enters Cornelius' house, he finds a big crowd waiting for him. Peter doesn't know why he's there, except God has told him to go. Cornelius doesn't really know why Peter's there, except God has told him to ask him to come. But Cornelius is so sure that something significant is about to happen, he's invited all his friends and family. And they turn up, but they don't really know why they're there. The only person who knows what is happening is God. Everybody else is there by faith and obedience. Now, this whole episode may seem bizarre to our 21st century rational, logical, systematic minds. Everything about this sequence of events is miraculous and supernatural. An angel appearing to Cornelius. Visions. Speaking in tongues. Perhaps one of the reasons we see so little of the miraculous or the supernatural nowadays is that we do not have eyes to see, let alone faith to obey. But for Peter and Cornelius and his family, the supernatural was perfectly natural. Cornelius then says to Peter, "Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Everything the Lord has commanded Peter to tell them turns out to be a very short and simple gospel account. Beginning at verse 36. God sent to the people of Israel the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and Jesus healed all who were under the power of the devil. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. We even ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. God commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that Jesus is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And as they hear the words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Having witnessed with their own eyes that God had obviously accepted these Gentile believers through pouring out his Spirit upon them, Peter makes it clear that it would be ridiculous for the Jewish Christians to withhold baptism by water, even though some might secretly want to. And so Cornelius and his household are baptized. Peter then stays with them for several days to teach them, but also possibly to emphasize their acceptance. So what lessons are there for us from this passage? Now I hope that as I've been speaking, and I hope that as anybody preaches, the Holy Spirit has been revealing to each of us here those things specific to each of us he wants us to learn. But I suggest there are also some big general challenges. Cornelius especially shows us what faith and obedience look like. If we truly hear God's voice, it's important that we obey without delay. How much do we miss out on, I wonder, by ignoring God's voice? Secondly, we need to be aware of and honest about our own prejudices and preferences, even if they seem well-founded in Scripture and tradition. After all, the laws on what was clean or unclean, or what was permissible on the Sabbath, were well-founded in Jewish Scripture and tradition, and yet God did a new thing. Like Peter, we need to have hearts and minds that are open to new possibilities. And then we will need the courage to admit that our position has changed. The Bible tells us that God is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. But that doesn't mean that God only does what he has always done. One of the big lessons that we see from the grand sweep of the Bible, from Genesis through to Revelation, is that God is a God of surprises. So we need to be alert and watchful for new moves of the Holy Spirit. But we also need to be wise and discerning too. This acceptability of all peoples before God is not the same as acceptability of all people before God. This passage makes clear what God requires of each of us. God accepts those who fear him and do what is right, whoever they are. And everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name, whoever they are and whatever they've done. It's not up to us to decide who is or who isn't acceptable to God. That's God's prerogative, and he has no favourites. There can be no place in the church for prejudice or favouritism. And finally, it's amazing, isn't it, that Peter's simple telling of the gospel story has such an effect. Maybe one of the reasons we find it hard to share the gospel is that we overcomplicate it. If a simple telling is good enough for Peter, perhaps that's good enough for us too. Let us pray. Father of all, help us not to judge and reject people, but accept and love them, regardless of who they are. And give us eyes, hearts, and minds that are always open to you. Amen.
Amen.